Hey everyone, welcome back to Kinda Relatable. It's Jillian, and I just wanted to record a quick intro for this episode. Today, I had my friends Kai and Jamie on the podcast. Kai is the Next Generation's pastor at my church, and Jamie is his wife, and they're some of my best friends. I go to them for good counsel, for advice, boy problems, everything. And I thought that having them on the show would be a great conversation, especially because I wanted to have a more faith-based conversation about relationships and marriage and things like that. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear this episode because they both had such great things to say, and I really enjoyed this talk that I had with them. But a couple disclaimers. I am so upset because I just started editing this podcast and I realized that Jamie's mic was messed up. So you can hear her, but it's like through our mics and you can like hear her and she's kind of distant. So I'll have to like edit it and raise her voice. So I apologize in advance for the awful audio on her part. I'm sorry, Jamie, but I promise next time I will triple check everything. I think this past time I was just kind of like flustered and whatever before we started recording. Anyway, so that's the reason behind that. So I'm sorry for all of the technical difficulties, but I really hope you guys still enjoy this episode. I think the conversation is great, whether you're a Christian or not. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoy it. Let me know what you think. And I hope you guys learn something, grow a little bit from this podcast episode. And I just hope you guys enjoy it. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to Kinda Relatable. I'm here with new guests, Jamie.
Hi.
And Kai.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo. Okay, you know what's funny? Sorry, this is like a side note. When I listen to this, it's going to feel like I'm listening to the church podcast.
I'm gonna shout be like, out to the Wake Church podcast. Right?
Today, I'm having Jamie and Kai on the podcast because I wanted to ask them questions about relationships and marriage and things like that because y'all do a lot of like premarital and marriage counseling. I don't know. I just feel like it would be a good conversation to ask you guys questions. But first, since you guys are new guests, I'm going to ask y'all two rapid fire questions. Just to warm y'all up, first question, what movie can you watch over and over and never get sick of?
I feel like my answer has to be Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Just because Elisha, that's the only thing that calms him down. But it's just such a good like musical / movie.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't say Tangled. Or P.S. I Love You, or any other bad movie.
But I think it those depend on my mood.
That's true. Yeah.
I like trash movies. So what like, kind
of oh yeah, you do, you do.
Like trash, like rom-com movies. Like, I love them.
What was that
them.
One with Noah and that girl?
To All the Boys I Loved Before.
Gosh, that one is garbage.
I love it. Ugh. I know it's trash, but like it's good to me. It's like feel good, easy to watch. Sorry, Kai, what's your repeat movie?
It would have to be a tie between A Knight's Tale or Atlantis, the Disney movie.
I haven't seen that in years, like since I was a child.
There's a reason.
Because it's so good?
No, that wouldn't make any freaking sense.
Oh, it does make sense. Because you're wrong.
No.
Next question.
Wait, so do y'all tend to not like the same movies?
100%.
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Yes, her movies are awful.
Oh no. I love really good movies. Kai's the one who's like easily entertained, and he'll just watch like the stupid, like Fast and Furious. He's like, those are the best movies
ever. No, I would not say they're the best movies. I did watch them a lot growing up, but it does not mean that I think they're the best movies.
Okay, your top 5 movies go.
Top 5 movies?
Yeah.
Top 5. Okay. Troy, A Knight's Tale, Atlantis, maybe Mulan, because I watched it a lot growing up. And then every Asian kid loves Mulan because it was like our movie.
That's like, yeah, Mulan's trash.
We're like, yeah, respect.
And then the last movie, top five. Maybe the new King Arthur.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's so good. It has Jude Law in it, but he's not bad guy.
Oh.
Spoiler alert.
The second question is, what is a boring fact about you? So, for example, my boring fact is every morning I put in my left contact before I put in my right contact.
What? It's probably boring. I like going to bed between like 7:30 and 8 o'clock.
That's crazy to me. I'm eating dinner by then.
I know. People who like ask us to go to dinner at like 7 o'clock, me and Kai are like, what the freak? We're going to sleep at that time. What's mom doing?
Okay, what's your boring fact?
I feel feel like they're not boring, so it's kind of hard to say.
You're just so fun.
I'm just such an interesting person. Okay, when I cook food, if I'm making like vegetables, I cannot cut my vegetables. I have to have Kai cut them.
Why? You don't like it, or?
Knives really freak me out.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I've cut myself one too many times, and so I'm done.
I
can't do it.
That's me with like vegetable peelers, because one time I was peeling a potato and I was trying to go really fast. I was young, and I was like, and then I just like shaved a corner of my pinky off.
Yes, it's awful.
And I just saw it started bleeding, and I was like, oh no, I'm never using a vegetable peeler again. Like, I hate this.
I literally, when I use the peeler, I have to like constantly like really be focused.
And yeah. Me too. Or I hold it like at the very bottom so that my fingers aren't close.
Yes,
to- yeah.
Finger all like.
I can't.
I can't do it. It's so scary.
Yeah. No, I can't. That's funny. But interesting. boring facts. So boring. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Let's get into the actual questions. I wanted you guys to be on the podcast because I do look to you guys for good counsel for like relationship stuff. I mean, I talk to you guys about my boy problems all the time and whatever, and you guys are like honest with me. And I talked to Jess about this in another podcast episode, but when I told her like I have specific friends who I feel comfortable going to, because, well, you guys are included in that list, but you guys are like honest with me and you tell me the hard truth and not like what I want to hear. So that's why I thought it would be good to have you guys on the podcast. So
I'm glad to be here.
So a long time in, oh, not a long time ago, but like a while back in groups, you asked if there was something that someone had said to you that you always remembered.
Oh, and yeah.
Yeah, you remember that? So like a lot of the time it's like something stupid. Anyways, I remember maybe like a year and a half ago or something, I was telling you about my boy problems. Hello. And I remember we were sitting like at the office and I was telling you about it. And then the first thing, or the main thing that you told me was, a man should pursue a woman as Christ pursued the church. So I wanted you to unpack that. And then I have like some follow-up questions. So what does it look like for a guy to pursue a girl? And how can you encourage a girl in this situation so that she doesn't feel completely powerless, just like waiting for a guy to pursue her, if that makes sense?
Got it. Okay. I was like, wait, what do you mean? Okay. So it's, what does it look like for a guy to be pursuing a girl the way that Christ pursued us?
Yes.
And then how can I encourage someone who's like, I want that guy and I'm waiting for him. So like, help me wait. Is that what you're saying?
Like, yeah, okay. Basically. Yeah.
Okay. So it all stems back from like the gospel, right? So we look at the gospel and the gospel is clear where it says, you know, essentially it's like we couldn't do anything, right, to save ourselves. We were not seeking God. We were living our own life, doing our own thing, not pursuing Jesus. And yet, in that pursuit of nothing, Christ had been pursuing us all along, right? Like, before we were born, right, he chose us, but not just that, but yet he was, like, almost, like, moving us through life and through like different houses and different schools and different situations to where we would end up at the place where finally, you know, we would get saved. And so it was like this, we look back and we say, oh, that's why we moved here. And that's why we did this. And that's why this person was in my life. And so you see this like nonstop pursuit where in the moment you didn't realize it. But when you look back, you see that Jesus was there all along, you know, drawing you into himself. And eventually he put you in the right spot where it was like, you know, you, for instance, right? Like, hey, come to record at this church. And yet, you know, now you're here, you know, years later and, you know, you've grown so much. And it was because God, somebody drew you here, but yet now God like used that person to draw you in. So I say the way that Christ has pursued us because a guy should pursue a girl in a way that's like, the way that Christ has pursued the church, where, and it's kind of different. So I would say I think there's a difference between in a relationship and outside of a relationship yet. So if you're single, then I would say the goal is like, you know, for the guy, what does it look like for the guy is that the guy should be pursuing Christ more than anything else, right? So he should be pursuing Christ, whatever, but in the relationship is where the guy should actually be sacrificing more than anything. So it's not about him and his bros. It's not about him and his workout routine. It's not about him and like his hobbies. It's not about him and any of these things. No, it's like first Christ, your relationship and your prayer life and your Bible reading and all these come first. And then it's like out of the overflow of you pursuing Christ with this all out pursuit, you then have this same love for this girl in your life, right? So let's say you're dating a girl. Man, this guy, let's say you're listening and you're dating a guy right now. Hopefully this guy doesn't hate me, but like if this guy is always putting you on the back burner, if he doesn't really love Christ, if he doesn't really, if the only reason that you think he loves Christ is because he attends church and he's not actually like pursuing and reading and growing in his knowledge and thirsting for knowledge and like desiring to know God more and has mentors in his life who are pouring into him, who's, you know, it's very obvious that he is choosing Christ above everything else. Then I would say, hey, you might want to watch out. That guy may not be a very good guy. That would be in the relationship where it's like, hey, nothing like for Jamie and I try to, even though it's difficult sometimes and we had to work through like scheduling and stuff like that. But like, even though I love cycling, like it comes second to what Jamie wants. So there was a day where I was like, hey, I need to go riding. She's like, hey, I'd rather you not because I just need you at home. And I was like, okay, absolutely. Like no problem. Like, and so it's being really like to just say, it's not about me, but it's about what would be best for Jamie. And same thing with Jesus, right? Jesus, it wasn't about, he said, not my will, but your will be done. And so he went all the way to the cross, died, rose again for his bride. And not only that, but he's been waiting for his bride for over 2,000 years, waiting and just like the marriage is not even consummated yet, right? And the marriage supper of the Lamb has not happened. And so it's like this beautiful picture where it's like Christ has been waiting all along. So it's like, even if you're in a relationship with this guy, it's like, if he can't even, you know, respect your, I guess you say like your body, right? And like he's pushing lines and boundaries that he shouldn't be, then it's like, obviously he has no sort of like self-control. So he's not loving you the way Christ, because Christ is loving us, pursuing us, though there are many times we don't pursue him. So I would say in the relationship, that's what I kind of mean when it's like, I guess, what'd you say? You said, let me look. You said the way that a guy to pursue a girl in the relationship. And so I would say outside of that, though, it's like the most important thing is just that they're pursuing Christ more than anything else. Like the guy that you're interested in or whatever, like, is he pursuing? Because I've seen many good relationships happen, godly relationships, where they weren't looking for each other, but instead they were just running after Christ. And eventually somebody was just like, hey, did you notice this guy? Did you notice this girl? And they're like, oh, who's this? And then they start talking, and then it's like, and then it just works out naturally. And then you see that they were both pursuing Christ individually. And then when they came together, especially when I'm doing premarital with couples like this who got engaged and they were pursuing Christ individually and then came together and are still pursuing Christ more than themselves, is where I've seen the healthiest, in premarital, whatever, counseling sessions. Like that was the healthiest, is when they really were pursuing Christ. They weren't perfect. I mean, they weren't like the super Christians, but you can tell that their pursuit of Christ came first. So to encourage a girl waiting, I would say, while you're waiting, you know, make the most of your opportunity to spend time with Jesus, right? Like, don't make it weird. He's not your boyfriend in a, like that. Like, you know, don't go and have a picnic with Jesus out by yourself. Like,
please, like, don't do it.
go and spend time with Jesus, but like, don't be like, I'm not dating a guy because I have Jesus or whatever. But then it's like, to me, most of those girls are like looking for a guy. Yeah. More than they're looking for Jesus, but they just want people to know, no, really, like, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is my boyfriend. No, it's like, no, you're still looking for a boyfriend. You're just trying to say, hey, I'm awesome, right? But it's the girls who are quiet, right? I think it was, I don't know if it was Peter, there was a verse that talked about like encouraging women to like grow in their godliness. And I think that's the most important, is like, as you're single right now, don't worry about the guy, right? Like, the Lord provides. Not only has he provided for you financially, not only has he provided for you like pertaining to your salvation, and it's like, if he took care of your salvation where it's going to last forever, the ramifications of that, how much more will he get you a man, you know, to last you the next 40-50 years, right? Like, that is a small blip in the entire scope and grand scheme of like eternity. Because yeah, it's great, and you get to see Christ's love in another way, hopefully, because you pick the right guy, or, you know, you find the guy that actually loves Jesus. But I would say, hey, wait and become like the most theologically like just, I don't know the word, like monstrosity? I don't know. I can't think of the word. But where like you are just so in love with God that your life beams with wisdom, that your life beams with just godliness, where other women, even married women, are trying to learn from you because you love Jesus that much. And it's like trusting in the midst of that, like, or trust in the midst of that, that God will provide you a man along the way. So
kind of that's good. Yeah, I've heard the illustration a lot where it's like you're like running a race towards God, and you're not looking for someone behind you. You're not looking for someone in front of you. You're looking for someone who's running the race to God beside you, and you just link up and run it together. Mm-hmm. And you're not like turning around and running backwards towards someone who's, you know, like not running and is not in the marathon. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's a really good illustration for like what you were just talking about.
And that's what the Bible says, keep your eyes on Jesus, right? It's like if your eyes are on the guys around you, you're not pursuing Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? If you're looking like for all the, if the guy's looking for a girl around them, right? Like your eyes aren't on Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like it's, so.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, wow, this is a whole sermon. I love it.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, and for those of y'all who don't know, Kai's a pastor too. So that's why he's so good at speaking about this. I loved, oh my gosh, also whenever I asked you, do you guys want me to send you the questions now or just like get it right before, and you were like, we want to pray about it, and I was like, wow, that is like a great way to approach this, because I do a lot of like faith-based content now, I guess, and so normally with everyone else I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna send it to you right before if you're okay with that, so that like the answers are like not too
rehearsed.
Yeah. But I get like that approach where it's like we're gonna pray about it because we're actually like speaking about, you know, deeper things. Okay, the next topic that I wanted to bring up is that a big thing a lot of people say who aren't single, or even people who are single, that we don't know what we need, because growing up or like even now, everybody like makes a whole list of things. I mean, I'm guilty of it too, where we like make a whole list of qualities that we want in the person that we want to be with. And so people will have like all of these like obscure things, whatever. I'm not even going to talk about my whole list because I don't want it on the internet. But the only things that really matter in like your list of requirements are the ones that are biblical. And so why do you think we want people, or why do you think we build lists of what we want in a person, but we don't actually realize that we don't know what we want? Does that make sense? Am I asking that correctly? I don't know what I just said.
No, yeah, you're saying like, why do we, you're saying like, what's the problem with building a list? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of, or like why do, wait, why do we not know what we need, and instead we're building a list of things that we want? Yeah, but then a majority of the time, like whenever people actually end up like finding someone, they're like, they're nothing like my list.
So I think, because when I think back to when I was like a freshman or sophomore in high school, my youth pastor made me write out like a whole long list of like down to like details of like what I wanted like my husband to be like, even look like. And I think he had good intentions, because I think he was just trying to get me to have like super high standards. So like all the boys like I went to school with, like just wouldn't compare, so I wouldn't even like bother with them. Mm-hmm. But well, that didn't work. But and so it almost became like superficial. Like I wanted a very tall, blonde hair, blue eyed boy. L O freaking L.
I'm 5'6". If you can't, you don't know what I look like, but I'm 5'6". Brown. I have no hair, and my eyes are black.
And you're not white.
And I'm not white. I'm half white.
A halfie.
Yeah, half.
But like I think sometimes we do it with good intentions of just being like, I want my standards high, like I'm not gonna go back and like be with like a trash person and like just settle. But I think when we get too caught up in trying not to replicate the bad, I think we still do an injustice to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we're just so focused on like, I won't be this, I won't go back to this, I won't engage myself with this, that we miss the good that God could have for us.
We like overcorrect.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do that too, where it's like, if it's like one thing, I'm like, oh, absolutely not, because you're like this person in my past and whatever. But then you like don't give people enough grace because you're just trying to check people off on a list. I called it a build a boy in that episode, and I was so proud of that. I said that. I was like, that's so clever. You can't build a boy.
I might use that in a sermon.
Oh, you should.
You should. Give me a shout out.
No, don't give me a shout out.
But like, I think that's one of like the sad things I think that a lot of us girls like would forget, is that when we're in the midst of like making that list, we almost like, okay, so we're making this quote unquote dream guy, but we're not making him real. And we're not being real with ourselves of like, hey, like, I'm going to marry another sinner. I'm going to marry another, just a human being who's going to mess up and make mistakes. I remember when I was in high school, this girl, I think she was like my youth leader. She was telling me, she said, never date a boy or marry a boy who makes you cry. And I remember as a teenager, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's so good. But like, that's so like unrealistic. Yeah. Like, I married another sinner. He married me, another sinner. And like, there's going to be moments we make each other mad. There's going to be moments that like, he's made me cry, not like intentionally, but just, he just misspoke or I misunderstood. And if like, I look back to what she said, then it almost looks like I'm not supposed to be with him because you made me cry. But that's like garbage, because it's like, no, like, he's a sinner, I'm a sinner. That's where true love comes into practice of like, hey, you have hurt my feelings, or hey, like, I've like pissed you off, but I know that you are still pursuing me like Christ, and you're practicing forgiveness, that you are still chasing after me even after I hurt your feelings or you hurt my feelings, that I'm still loving you, I'm still forgiving you, because I know that Christ has forgiven me like all the more. And so I think that's another like mistake that I think a lot of us girls do, is we make up this dream guy, but we're not realistic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, whenever, like, I think I might have mentioned it in a sermon, but I was like, at the end of the day, like, there's no perfect one for you, right? Like, I think, I won't even say it's mine, but Matt Chandler, he talked about how if one person, it was supposed to marry, like, if there was a one person for you, obviously, yes, God knows who you're going to marry, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't. So if there was a one person, that means that, let's say just 100 years ago, everybody up to 100 years ago married the exact one person for their life. But then 100 years ago, somebody messed up and they married somebody. And then the person they were supposed to marry married somebody else that they weren't supposed to marry even more. And then the whole entire system was broken because of one person, right? Yeah. So it's like, this one doesn't exist, but the one who you're going to marry is the one that you're going to say, just like Jamie was talking about, I see that you're a sinner. I'm going to choose to love you each and every day, despite the fact of when I see your sin, if you're not faithful to me, if you don't do the things that I thought you were going to do, it's like, but I'm still going to love you, because that's the way that Christ has loved me. So it's not just even like the guy pursuing the girl, but it's the way that, you know, the girl in the same way, right? Where it's like Christ pursued both of us in a way that we were not faithful and he stayed faithful, right? So same thing is like this one guy, perfect guy, all these lists, like, sure, make some standards, right? But make them biblical standards, right? Like, loves Jesus, pursuing Jesus, serves in the church, right? Gives, right? Like that, not because I'm a pastor, but it's like, hey, money isn't my idol, right? Is the guy see money as an idol, and he's not generous, he's stingy, whatever, then it's like, that's going to be something that you could bring into the marriage that, you know, if I'm doing the premarital, we're going to have to deal with. But yeah, so I would just add that.
Yeah, that was a big thing for me, because me and a friend, I'll just call him a friend, he was like, okay, like, write down all the things that you want your future husband to be. And I know his intentions were good. It was like the same thing with you and your teacher, Jamie. But I was like writing all these things, and then I showed it to like Carlina and Stephanie, and Lena was like, throw the list away. But she was like trying to like just, you know, tell me the truth. But then at the same time, she was like, I don't want to hurt her feelings. And I was like, wait, what do you mean? She was like, the only things that matter on the list are that he has a servant's heart and that he loves Jesus. Absolutely. And I was like, well, at the end of the day, like, I agree, but I still kind of want those other things. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's having that approach that, yeah, it would be nice if he were these things, but as long as he meets my biblical standards,
everything else doesn't matter as much. It's secondary. And so, yeah.
And it also goes back, like, you don't want to date, like, a freaking ugly dude. Like, you still want him to be freaking hot. Yeah. I mean, like, those things are still, like, God's not petty, and he's not going to be like, you know, all that matters is that he loves me. Here's an ugly dude. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still going to, like, give you a dude that you think is, like, freaking hot, you yeah. know? So I think those
two. Yeah, matter. There will be attraction.
Okay, the next question is, how do you know when you're, quote-unquote, ready to be in a relationship?
You want me to answer?
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever a moment where you know you're ready. There's not like a milestone to pass. There's not like a number of books you should have read, or minutes in prayer, or like how many times you read through the Bible. Like, none of those are, there's no clear indicator. But I think it's one of those where you come, like, because even when Jamie and I started dating, like, there was still a period of, like, you know, a little over a year, right? Was it over a year? Yeah. A little over a year where we didn't date, but I wanted to date her, but I was, one, I couldn't, but don't want to get into that.
No time.
But anyways, but in that time, I still wanted to date her. I thought I was ready, but, you know, I was still working on sin in my life and things. And so I don't think there's a ready, but I do think that there was, but I do know that we were both not looking at each other when we did start dating, nor when we were first, like, became friends. Like, we became friends fast, but the problem was, and I wanted to date her. I thought she was gorgeous, still do. But anyways, I knew that I wasn't ready to date in a way where it was like, one, I was like, I'm just still pursuing Jesus. Like, I didn't want a relationship during that time. Even though we couldn't date, I still didn't want a relationship because I knew that I was working on my relationship with Jesus. But even post that, like, there were so many huge milestones spiritually that I've had since Jamie and I started dating. And even when we got engaged and even in marriage, where there was just huge spiritual milestones along the way. So I don't think there's a ready, but I do think that you can't be at a place where you just think you're ready. It has to be, I don't know.
I think just wisdom comes into play, you know, like
godly counsel. Yeah, just like, hey, I'm thinking about this guy's cute or whatever. I'm thinking about dating him. And then whoever is in your life, like, mentoring you, I think they would say, hey, you might want to pump the brakes. Not because he's not the right guy, but because let's deal with this first, yeah. Right? Somebody who knows your heart, knows your idols, knows the things that you're wrestling with, and is able to say, hey, no, not yet. Because, I mean, there's so many girls at Wake that will find a guy that they're like, whatever. And I'm like, hold on. Like, because I know where they're at. And mm-hmm. for me, being, you know, one of the pastors at Wake, and my job is the shepherd, I want to make sure that these girls are getting, that are, they're ready. They're not, and part of it is, like, I think the readiness, and maybe there is a point ready, but and when the point of you being ready is the next guy or the next girl you're going to date has to be eligible to be your future husband or yeah. wife, right? Mm-hmm. I think at that point, when you can come to that point and say, I will not date anybody else until I think, and we'll court, we'll date, and I'll see if they're worthy of marriage, not... Yeah. Man, I hope he's a good kisser, or I hope that he makes me laugh, or I just want company. No. Like, if that's what you're looking for in a relationship, or you just want somebody to tell you how beautiful you are, then there's identity issues. There's mm-hmm. Approval issues. There's so many heart issues going on where instead it's like, hey, you know what? I don't think he's ready for marriage. Like, when a girl tells me that, like, no, he wasn't ready for marriage. I don't think he really loves Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, she's ready. But she just didn't find the right guy yet. So. Yeah.
And I was like, just talk to me, okay? I need it. No, a big thing for me, I mean, I've told my family too, where it's like the next person I bring around, because, okay, I was notorious for, like, bringing every single boyfriend around the family because I just would romanticize it. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's my boyfriend. I want to show him off. And, like, of course, I was, like, proud of them and wanted everybody to know them and love them like I did. But now I'm very much like, I'm not going to bring someone around or even give them the privilege of calling them my boyfriend until, like, I know that they could be my husband. And that's something that I've had to, like, struggle with over time, and I've had to be single for a long time to like allow myself to let that sink in, where it's like, I don't want to just date someone for like 6 years and then be like, oh yeah, we're just boyfriend, girlfriend. Yeah, we might get married, you know, like.
Just waste your time.
Exactly. And I don't want to just give anybody now the title of being my boyfriend, because that's important. And in my mind, I've had to train myself to think like boyfriend means pre-fiance.
Yeah.
We're engaged to be engaged.
Right.
And rather than like the quote unquote worldly way of thinking of it is like, oh, we're just going to date. And then if we like try it out for a while, then we can figure out later if we want to get married. But like, no, like my understanding of like Christian dating is like, I'm not going to call you my boyfriend unless there's a possibility. But yeah, I've had to really learn about that, you know. What is the biggest or toughest issues couples typically deal with? Maybe they don't even realize they do until you guys address it, when they go through premarital or marriage counseling, do you think?
What do you think?
So I think it's, so every like issue is different with each couple.
Yeah.
But I think the underlying root of it is like just straight selfishness, right? Just because you, even though you're boyfriend and girlfriend, you still have a lot of like independence. And just whenever they finally, you're living under the same roof, you're married, all of that, they start to see like a different side of you. And that's where like we say it's so important for people, like, don't have sex, don't live with each other until you're married. Just because if you're living together and like, let's say the, like, I remember this one girl was saying she hated the way this dude like brushed his teeth, and so she cut it off. And it was just so stupid. And so it's just one of those things where you can just dip just because you don't like the way he like brushes his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those things that, but within marriage, it's like, no, like, for some reason that may irk me, but like, I'm still choosing to love you. Mm-hmm. Like, I made a vow, I made a promise, and I'm sticking with it. But I think it's just a lot of times, just like within marriage, like the root of like any arguments or like any problems is mainly like, we're just selfish. Like, when I get mad at Kai, it's because I'm being selfish. Like, you're not honoring my time. You're not doing what I want you to do. You're not saying the things that I want you to say. And it's just straight selfishness. And so I think a lot of times people are like, oh, it's finances that are the problem. Oh, it's he goes and hangs out with the bros too much. But then it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what problem it is, the deep heart issue is always just selfishness.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, you just die to yourself, right? And it's the same thing, like, spiritually, like, in your walk with God, you should always be the maturing Christians, like, the ones that I, like, look up to, are always usually the ones that are most aware of the things they need to work on. And not just aware, most people know what they need to work on, but it's actually working on it and towards it with like a godly, I hate this thing, right? Not a, yeah, I do this, or yeah, I say this, but it's like, no, like, I hate this part about me, and I'm doing everything in my power and in asking God to strengthen me to handle this. And it's like, because for me, I tell them every couple that we go through, I say, hey, listen, we're not doing budget. We're not doing many of like the, I guess, normal things. I was like, my goal is to make sure that you understand what you're getting into and having the right perspective, so that when problems arise, you're not quick to leave, because, you know, the goal is that it's gospel centered, meaning that they are both viewing their relationship, their job as husband and wife, is to choose to love each other no matter what. Even in the wedding ceremony, I say, if they're unfaithful, they're still going to pursue each other. And I hope and pray to God that all the couples that I do marriage counseling with, that they stick to it, even if there's like horrible stuff that happens, that they just stick to it the entire way, because they understand, man, Christ has stuck to me despite my faithlessness. And so I'm going to continue to stick to her. But I will also say, a very practical one is phones. Phones are a huge issue, because it's like this idea where it's like, privacy, or
yeah,
I have to have this app, or I have to do this, or I mean, that's where like emotional relationships start. And so it's like, anytime that there is issues, or there have been issues, sometimes it's been phone, sometimes it's phone has been a tool of that. So I would say sometimes it's just like, be willing to just die to your phone as well. Like, it would, because most of the time it's also like, hey, I'm not getting enough attention, but the phone is. So there's also stuff like that. But the key number one would definitely be, as Jamie said, selfishness.
Yeah. I've seen in a lot of like relationships how weird people get with phones, where it's like, oh, why are you looking through my phone? As if like you have some, I don't know, maybe they have something to hide. That used to be like me. I used to be like, not that I had anything to hide on my phone. I would just like get anxious if someone's like looking at it, because I don't know like if someone's going to text me something weird. I don't know. Yeah, but now I'm very much like, oh, Kai, you're like, let me see your screen time. I'm like, okay, just hand over my phone. Just leave it unlocked. Robert does the same thing too, because he's like, I'm going to help you work through your screen. I'm like, I know you just want to look at it. It's fine. Right. Just say that. But yeah, I think a lot of that is probably like they feel ashamed of something in their phone if they mm-hmm. want to hide it.
Right.
And I mean, when you're married, you need to like be open with them and they should know everything.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine, I won't say their name, but they said, so-and-so, they know each other's passcodes on their phone. And I was like, yeah, that's normal. That's mm-hmm. like marriage. And he goes, what? He's like, what about their privacy? I said, what privacy?
Is he not married?
Nope.
No. I was like, there's no privacy in marriage. Mm-hmm. I said, Jamie has clear access to everything in my phone at any time of day. And I'm not worried about what she's going to find. Now, there are things that, you know, as a pastor, there are conversations that I'll have on my phone that I'll tell Jamie, hey, don't read that. Don't look at that. Because I'm like, there's just things that I've protected Jamie from. Church stuff, because yeah. she
they're with boys, like conversations with men.
Oh yeah mm-hmm. But I never delete messages either, so it's like Jamie, I literally have so many messages on my phone, but Jamie has full access to all that. And I'm like, yeah, whenever there are like, hey, this is my thing, this is, they can't get into this, I'm like, okay, so either you're hiding something, or you don't really trust your husband, or you don't really trust your fiance. I'm like, no, it should just be open.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that before, because I asked you, like, do you guys tell each other everything? Which, yes, you do. But I guess in your case, you said that you want to protect Jamie from certain things, and like, you don't want to change her perception of people. And mm-hmm. also, you want people to also still trust you and know that you're going to keep something private if you want to keep it private. Absolutely. And I know with me personally, when I've like told someone who's married something, I'm like, oh, I already know you're like probably going to tell your wife or whatever, which is fine with me. I'm not going to like ask a man to keep something from his wife. That seems weird. But yeah, I think I thought that was really interesting. Like, you and Josh too have been like, oh, like, I'm not going to just automatically tell someone if it's supposed to be like private. But I feel like in my perception, I used to think that like everybody just told each other everything if you're married to each other. The next question, this is an important question to me, because I mean, it's just interesting, because in my walk, I mean, since I'm like a fairly new Christian, I'm still learning about like theology and like what it even is. And when I became a Christian, I didn't know what the word theology was. Like, it's just a big thing.
Right.
In relationships, does your theology need to align exactly?
I don't think it has to align exactly at first. But I don't think it should be super different from each other.
Yeah.
Just because... I know I'm going to step on some toes, so I'm trying to think how to say this well.
It's all good. So, it's not 100% relatable. It's kind of relatable.
Yeah, we're just kind of relatable. Y'all can only be kind of mad at me. So, like, let's say Kai believe, like, his belief is still the same. And I'm a, like, word of faith kind of gal. Meaning, like, let's say Elisha gets sick, and let's say, like, God forbid, he were to, like, get cancer. My theology is, if we have enough faith, it'll go away. But yet Kai, on the other hand, is, like, true biblical Christianity, saying, like, no, like, we plead with Jesus, we ask him, and if he chooses to save Elisha, like, you know, all glory to him. If he chooses not to save Elisha, all glory to him. Like,
yeah, that's God's will. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's his will, and we just have to trust that he knows what he's doing. But yet my theology is saying, no, we need to have enough faith, and let's say Elisha does pass away. Then it's one of those things that I would maybe come at Kai and be like, you didn't have enough faith. You're the reason our child is dead. And so there's where that theology gets really weird, and it's mm-hmm. just like, you know, you just see our marriage basically crumble.
Yeah.
Because our theologies were so different. But I mean, our theology was, I mean, pretty similar. And then I say in the middle of our engagement, Kai started really like diving deep into like real sound theology. And I was almost kind of like playing catch up. Like he was like, hey, this is what like I've read in our Bible. This is what like I believe. And so there were times where I was like, okay, can you explain this to me? Like I'm five. And so like it was just one of those things, like it just took my heart a little bit while to catch up, because I was like, okay, let me read this for myself. Let me like see what I really believe about that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think it's so important that they're close together. And I just think it's healthier for your marriage, and it just makes things easier, like the closer y'all's theology is together. But like if it's a little off, it's not like, whoop, gotta drop ya. But like I said, like you don't want to be so drastically different that like situations like that arise, and it's mm-hmm. just awkward.
Yeah,
that was good. I mean, that was good. I mean, yeah, they don't have to be exactly like it doesn't, because for instance, let's say we're talking end times. Jamie could have a totally different perspective on the end times, and then I could have a totally different. That's not going to change much other than the, like, it doesn't.
We still going to heaven.
Yeah, we're that. Still going to heaven together. But if she was like, I'm not sure the Trinity exists, I'd be like, hold up. Like,
you're like, wait, you're not even a Christian.
Yeah, like, you're right, though. But I would be like, yeah, that's a little off. Or, yeah, you know, I believe Jesus walked this earth, but I don't think he was really the Son of God. Okay, yeah. You know what? This ain't going to work.
Sister.
But anyways, yeah. So I think you just want to find a guy who, I mean, he isn't necessarily, perfect world, I would say you want to find a guy who actually cares about his theology.
Yeah.
And not just, who could define, who knows what that word is and is like, yeah, I'm trying. Like I read a few books or whatever, but if the guy like the, to me, theology just matters so much, but I don't.
Like, why wouldn't you want to know more about God? Like on deeper levels, like why would you just be like, yeah, I know that's good. We're done.
Yeah. If somebody doesn't like, cause they're, I mean, I love theology. So I'm always reading all kinds of articles and old dead guys all the time, but there's a level like, before that where you're just like, hey, I want to know more about why I believe what I believe. And so you can be able to go, so I have a problem, and you go and you read books or read articles, you just make sure you know why you believe what you believe. But if there's people out there who are like, oh, I really love Jesus, and it's like, okay, but like what about this, like what do you hold on this, and they're like, what's that? Or I was like, have you ever read a theological book? They're like, no, but I read this Christian Living book. I'm like, ugh. Because to me, it's just at some point, it just helps you go deeper into your walk. And there are basic like theology books, which are great to read. And then there's obviously super in-depth. But anyways, I would say what?
No, I'm thinking about ethics.
Oh, yeah. There's like super in-depth for like, you know, that are like Bible nerds. There's people who are like even nerdy to me. And I would probably classify as Bible nerd. But there's guys who are like, that guy's just super nerdy. So theology matters. It does really matter, because Jamie said, depending on what it is, but I think you just have to have wisdom and figure out what are the differences and are they too major for this to work? Because you also don't want to become a snob where it's like, you have to believe what I believe or it's not going to work. It's like, hold on. Like if this guy is really going to pursue you and he's just maybe still learning and growing and he loves Jesus and he's dying to himself and he's like saying, hey, you know, I think you're the greatest thing in the world. It's like, hold on, give this guy a chance. Just because he doesn't know, you know, who Zwingli is. Sorry, but
or, I'm like, I don't know who that is.
like, it doesn't mean that he can't be a good guy to you who loves you the way Jesus loved you. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, another thing. Sorry, I keep referencing the other podcast episode, but I said that it's not about the place, it's about the pursuit. I mean, I guess that goes into the next question of what does it mean to be equally yoked with someone? Because I feel like from how I want to see my future husband is that, of course, neither of us are going to be like perfect and mm-hmm. we're not going to like get to a certain place where, okay, I reached my goal of being this good of a Christian or whatever. It's about the fact that like you're both trying to learn more about Jesus, you're both trying to keep up that relationship or whatever. But anyway, that goes into the next question. What does it mean to be equally yoked with someone?
Yeah, so I would say, I mean, it kind of goes with the rest of what we've been saying, but it's just, is there both a pursuit of Christ in either of the individual's lives? Like, mm-hmm. I know there's one time where this girl told me that this guy said they couldn't date because they weren't equally yoked. And I said, hold up, like, I don't even think this guy loves Jesus. Why is he over here saying you shouldn't be equally yoked? And it's because for him...
Oh, I remember this.
Wait. The girl said that?
The girl was saying that the guy said we can't date because we're not equally yoked. Uh-huh. I thought, wait, hold on. I don't think this guy really loves Jesus, but yet he's using this as a cop-out. So I think...
Ugh.
Yeah, no. So simply put, equally yoked is just both y'all are pursuing Christ, yeah, and both y'all love Jesus, like really love Jesus, yeah, not bio Jesus, not like influencer Jesus, but like
I go to church once a month Jesus.
Yeah, like this guy, this girl has sacrificed or given up things that they really love or they could have done because they'd rather be at church or they'd rather be at groups or they'd rather, they wake up early to spend time with Jesus. Like they talk, like scripture comes out of their mouth on like a normal basis, right? When you're asking, not like, hey, you know, good morning, oh, John 3:16. No, it's like, but it's just like, hey, in natural conversation, it's like you can ask them the question, hey, what has God been teaching you lately? And there's actually like meat behind it. Because to me, that like most couples won't ask each other that question because if they're listening, because they probably, most people, not right, don't really have that sort of confidence in their own pursuit of God, where they're definitely not going to ask each other that. But it's like, if you're able to ask that question and you not feel bad and not feel bad asking the other person, because the other person is probably going to tell you something great or good or just something that God's been showing them, then it's like, okay, you might be equally yoked at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this, if you really love Jesus and then you're over here trying to date a guy who does not love Jesus, but you're like, no, but I'm going to get him to love Jesus.
You're an idiot.
Yeah. And you're unequally yoked completely.
Yeah.
Because you're not the Holy Spirit. You can't be the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You can't change his heart. Only the Holy Spirit can change his heart. So don't try.
He's not even yoked.
Yeah.
How can you not even yoke, son?
How can you be equally yoked if you ain't got no yoke, bro? Sorry, that's awful. Oh, gosh. Okay.
This is the one that I was like, I gotta be spirit controlled about this one.
This is the juicy one. How do you tell a friend lovingly that you think they're struggling with spiritual leadership in a relationship?
And this girl shouldn't be in the leader, so you're gonna have to do that.
Yeah, and this goes into also like, what does it mean to be a spiritual leader, and also how do you tell your friends?
So struggling, how? That was my question. So it's like, so are you telling the? Are you? Is this you? Is this you? Or is this in general? Like, is this? So would this be a girl to a guy or a girl to a girl who's dating a guy?
No, the guy is not leading the relationship like he should.
If your guy friend, either a girl or a guy telling a guy that he's not being a spiritual leader in a relationship. So like, I don't know. I mean, obviously it wouldn't be like to a girl because the girl isn't.
So you're saying like to a guy.
Spiritual leader. Yeah.
Okay. One, I would say, you might want to find somebody who has the ability to talk into this person's life, and then have that person talk to them. Because if you come at somebody and you don't have the relationship of this person, like we'll name him Jerry. If I'm going to Jerry and Jerry trusts me and I've talked to Jerry and I've been discipling Jerry, or I just know Jerry's situation and I'm his mentor, then it's like I can talk to Jerry and I can call him out on his crap, and then he might actually listen and he won't get mad about it, right? But let's say somebody else talks to Jerry and they don't have that same relationship where there's been built up time and effort into that, and they just go up to him like, hey, you're not doing what you should be doing. Well, that person is going to be automatically on the defensive.
But I think that's what we're saying, is that if you do have that relationship,
what do you do?
So if you do have that relationship, got it. Okay. So if I have that relationship, then this is what I would do. I would say, hey, one, it's not so much. So whenever I deal with people who, not just relationships, but just usually it's relationships, but anything in general, my first thing that I want to get into is like, hey, how's your heart? Right. How's your walk been? When's the last time you read your scripture? When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you, because it's obvious, right? Like when you see people get in a relationship, let's say before they were in a relationship and they were pursuing Christ and this person was pursuing Christ, and then they get into this relationship and then you start to see them slack off. One, to me, that's it. Let's say somebody was attending Wake religiously. They get in a relationship and they stop attending Wake religiously. That's a first indicator saying, okay, so now your priorities are starting to switch, which tells me something's going on. But then let's say that I start to see, you know, this person doing things like on the weekends. Elisha's going to be totally in this. Like, let's say they're doing something on the weekends that I know, and then they don't show up at church, but, you know, they put this effort, they put, whether it's a some sort of like family party or it's like something, and they're like, hey, I don't have the time to go to church. I'm like, okay, so for sure your priorities have definitely switched. So I would go to this person and I would say, hey, Jerry, like, talk to me. And it's never an easy conversation. And I don't try to come to these conversations as like a domineering person, but I come to him like, hey, like, man, what's going on? Like, what is it? Like, I ask those questions like, hey, how's your Bible reading? And most of the time the answer is not good. I haven't read in a while, blah, blah, which I already know the answer, but I'm just asking so they can, you know,
like say it about,
yeah, themselves. So they can say it themselves. But then on top of that is I'm like, hey, like, then I start to run down, right? Let's say it's a guy. Then I say, hey, how are you and this girl? Right. Are y'all, I always say, are y'all keeping it PG? That's like my go-to, because sometimes it's just awkward to go straight up. Like, hey, are y'all, like, it's just weird to say, right. Yeah. Doing the dirty. Are y'all, sinning? You getting handsy? Like there's lots of ways that I've said it in the past, but most time now I just say, hey, are you keeping it PG? And then they're like, yeah, I'm like, okay, you know, then I get into it, right? It's like, okay, if they're willing to answer that question, then it's like, okay, you know, hey, are you keeping, like, are you respecting her body, right? Are you keeping your hands where they need to be? You know, hey, have y'all had sex? And that's a hard one, but most of the time, if I'm willing to have this conversation with a guy, I have that relationship. And so I'm able to ask that question and just straight up be with them. And then after that, it depends on the reaction at that point, where in the reaction at that point is where it tells me whether or not they're truly repentive or they're just sorry they got caught. And so I mean, it all really stems to, do you have that relationship? And then you have to actually have the confidence and the boldness to actually have that hard conversation. And there's always conversations need to be had when it comes to relationships and, you know, Christian relationships, even Christian relationships, right? It's like, I'm still asking the ones that I know really love Jesus. It doesn't mean they're not prone to temptation and sin, especially when life gets hard. And so whenever people are struggling through something in life or they're going through a hard time, that's when they're most susceptible to actually committing some sort of sin, because they're off, right? Their life has thrown them a little, made them a little off balanced. So for me, I would, you know, straight up tell this guy, hey, one, or if let's say it's a girl, right, is one, like, hey, don't be the reason why, like, if you're listening and you know you and this guy are in sin and he should be leading, don't give him more reasons to actually keep both y'all in sin, right? And I would say, hey, you might want to be the one, unfortunately, to take that step as a leader and say, hey, we can't do this anymore. We can't cross these lines. We can't do these things because I know it's not right. And hopefully at that point, that guy's like, hey, oh, you're right. I'm so sorry. But if at that point, the guy's like, hey, like, what do you mean? What's the big deal? Man, that's a huge indicator that this guy does not love Jesus and he doesn't care about you. If you're a girl listening, he doesn't really care about you. He doesn't care about your soul. He doesn't care about your, like your walk with Jesus. I always tell high schoolers all the time, I'm like, hey, does this guy or does this girl make you run to Jesus because you're always confessing sin or because you are being loved so much and you are being cared for so much and he is pursuing you the way Christ would pursue you, that you want to pursue Jesus because you're so thankful for him, for sending you this guy, sending you this girl. So if I was this guy, I mean, and you're listening and you know me, the conversation is probably going to happen soon. So
yeah. And I'm glad that you addressed like also encouraging the girl, because I feel like when girls are in that situation, they feel like, oh, I can't correct him because he's supposed to be leading me. And they feel like they don't want to overstep and be like, I don't want to be the spiritual leader because he's supposed to be. But I think it's still okay to be the girl and say, hey,
yes,
I don't want to do this anymore. And like, even though that's like a step that he should be doing, if she's aware of it, I feel like that's still a good thing for her to be like drawing a line.
Yeah, because we're essentially like helpmates.
Yeah.
And so we're there to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if at that point, if you, so, and here's the indicator, right? Like, if you're not willing to have the conversation because you know he's going to leave, because he's not, he's probably going to leave because he's not getting that physical pleasure out of you, then break off the relationship.
Then you shouldn't be together.
Yeah, like, if you're afraid he's going to break up with you because you have this conversation, then this guy does not really love you and love Jesus. He may say he loves you. You may have been with him. You may be engaged to him. But if he's not willing to do that over one being caught, you know, in this moment where it's like, yeah, I shouldn't do this. And then you talk to his, let's say a mentor in his life, and mentor talks to him and he still doesn't want to change. It's like, okay, yeah, you need to drop this guy.
Yeah.
I don't care if you put a ring on it. Like,
yeah,
this is going to be, you're in store for an awful marriage at first. Hopefully it's at first. Hopefully it's not the whole time.
Yeah, hopefully it would get better, but it's better to take care of that sin ahead of time. What wisdom do you, speaking of Elisha, because we've been hearing him this whole time, what wisdom do you want to instill in your, oh wait, I skipped a question. Well, we can go back to that one. What wisdom do you want to instill in your children and in youth kids, because you guys are youth pastors too, in youth kids in regards to dating and relationships? Like the main, like big point. Other than like, you know, pursuing Jesus.
Yeah, I feel like it's the other day we did the Q&A at Jamie's school, and a lot of them were like relationships. Mm-hmm. We did like the kids submitted anonymous questions, and when they submitted like theological questions, you can tell some kids were interested, but whenever there was like relationship questions, all the girls were like on the edge of their seats, literally on the edge of their seats, because they were like so interested in the fact of like me talking about this guy or girl or whatever. So for me, I mean, for the younger crowd, even like, you know, college age, is like, hey, you really don't need a guy right now. Like, most, unfortunately, a lot of times, especially in today's day and age, I would say it's pretty rare. You know, maybe, I don't know, I give like a 30% percentage, maybe 20%. But a lot of girls don't have a good father figure in their life. And because of that, especially if they were growing up without a father, let's say the father was there, but he wasn't leading them spiritually. And like, actually, Jesus wasn't present in the house, then there is a void in this girl's life. It's not, this isn't like a generalization. Like, I've seen it over and over and over and over again, is when the girl did not have a like Jesus loving, Jesus instilling good father figure, this girl always ran to guys and went crazy. Unfortunately, that's why like even pastor's kids were, even pastor kids that were girls were known as some of the craziest girls. Like, they were wild growing up. All the PKs I knew were wild, like crazy ones. And there's only one girl that I know that was not wild, and her dad was a pastor, two girls, and they were just, and it's crazy to me, because it's like, wow, like this is what I'm hoping for in my kids one day. So I would say, one, realize if you didn't have a father, that there's probably a lot of issues that you haven't dealt with. And that if you look at your past relationships, you might actually see the fact that you're always running to guys over and over again. And you think that it's because like you're looking for love or whatever. No, but really you're looking for something to fill that void that has been there for many years. And I'm not saying that Jesus, Jesus will fill that void. And maybe one day you do get married, and then, you know, you get to have that void filled with a godly husband, but it's only because of Jesus, right? So it's like, my goal is that I want girls to know that Jesus is enough forever, right? And that, yes, I want you to get married, but it doesn't mean you have to. Like, even Paul says, right, you know, I wish that you weren't married, because then you could do more for Jesus. And so the same thing is like, hey, I know how much freedom there is in not being married. So I would want these girls to know, hey, one, make sure that you are rock solid in your foundation with Jesus before you just go dating. Because if you have had, I don't know, more than four guys in the past 2 years that you've dated, that's an indicator that shows, hey, you probably are not dating for the right reason. And the same thing with guys, right? Where it's like, hey, if you're out there and you're not looking to love a girl the way that she should be loved, you know, then, and you're just looking to get some, or because she's hot, and, or you just want to know what she looks like naked, or you just want to say that you've been with her. To me, it's like, man, like, you are causing this girl to have to deal with so much baggage later on. And so for me, I want to instill that young, is like, for my daughter one day, I want her to know what it is to be loved and to be told that she's beautiful, and to know that dad cares more about her than he does the church. Like, I would gladly give up being a pastor if it meant that my kids love Jesus, right? The goal is that I can be a pastor and my kids love Jesus. But same thing, Elisha, like, I want him to see girls the way, like, sisters in Christ, and like people that, like, he doesn't need this girl to feel like he's a man, but instead is like that his manhood would come from the fact that he is saved, he is a son of God, that he is adopted, that he is justified, glorified, that he is all these things because of Christ. And it's like, now he can go out and be whatever he needs to be. He could be a missionary and, you know, die on the mission field one day and never get married because he's just so in love with Jesus. And to me, that's okay. If I don't get grandkids, it'll be sad. But if my kids, if Elisha dies on the mission field and he doesn't give me grandkids, like, man, glory be to God.
I have no cookies. Yeah.
So for me, it's like, hey, bottom is like, man, guys, don't pursue girls just to get some. And girls, like, don't look for guys to fill a void that you may have. And even if you had a great father, still don't look for a guy just out of curiosity. Like, you're not missing out on something to just be with a guy or whatever. Like, that's not, to me, you're really not missing out on something like that. Like, there were so many girls that I just played, and I was the good Christian guy. I was the golden child. Everybody loved me. And yet I played all these girls, and it's like, I knew what I was trying to get. And yet, you know, these girls thought that I was just being the man of their dreams. No, I was just playing, saying all the right words so that I can get to where I need to be. So yeah, I would say those.
Going back to the previous question that I skipped, what do you wish you knew as a single person about relationships and marriage that you learned being married?
Honestly, there's nothing going through marriage where I've kind of been like, man, I wish I would have known this before. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of been like being warned and having to walk through those things, and even like stepping in some potholes, even knowing the pothole was coming, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, man, like when we read Mingling of Souls, like while we were engaged, mm-hmm. I really think that's the reason we've had such a good marriage. Or, I mean, obviously one of the reasons, Jesus, number one. But
yeah.
I really think that's one of the reasons why me and Kai, like, do have such a great marriage, is because we read it and it just showed us, like, hey, like, you are not the Holy Spirit. Like, you make a terrible Holy Spirit. And I think just going into marriage, it was just one of those things where I was like, okay, like, I make a terrible Holy Spirit. Like, I cannot change Kai's heart. I cannot convict him. Like, whenever he does things that hurt my feelings, or he does things where, like, I'm getting annoyed at, or whatever the case may be, is that I know it is better just to pray and say, Lord, like, please change his heart. Like, help him to see, like, that this, like, doesn't make me feel good. Mm-hmm. Or even like from the other way around, like, Lord, like, he's really irking me, change my heart. Mm-hmm. Like, he like, there's no reason that this should be irking me so much, so obviously, like, my heart needs to be fixed right now. And so I think just, oh gosh, Elisha, gracious.
Sorry, we're almost at the last one.
But I think just like reading that and just being like forewarned, I think that was just like the greatest help. And I mean, Kai's answer could be different, but for me, it was just, like, there's nothing I can look back and be like, dang, I wish I would have known that. Like, I got a pretty good, like, forewarning. We coming, baby!
Oh, I didn't know if you were finished.
Mic drop.
Yeah, I think for me, it would have been, it's definitely, I wish, like, the greatest advice I got was, Kai, when you get married, you need to sacrifice for your wife. And when you think you sacrifice enough, you got to keep sacrificing more. and that's helped me a lot, but I wish he would have said, oh, and by the way, it's going to hurt. Like, I wish he would have said that. Because it's true, like, sacrificing, I tell guys all the time, sacrifice and sacrifice. And when you think you've sacrificed enough, keep sacrificing. And it's going to hurt. But then at the end, I would say, but it'll be worth it. So I think if I would have just had that little bit more and just known ahead of time, because it just goes back to the selfishness where it's like most of the times that I've been most frustrated in marriage has not been because of Jamie, but it's because of the sin within me where it's like, ugh, like I hated seeing that within me. I hate the fact that I have to deal with this sin now, that this sin is now popping up, because it's like, I just hate dealing with, I hate sin so much. And so it's like, I know that it's worth it. And I know, you know, Jesus is helping me fight this sin. But I wish I would have just known sometimes that it would have like really, really not just hurt, but I think like it's going to cost. And like, hey, you will lose more of your individual time along the way. But just know that it doesn't mean that you're missing out on anything. Because if anything, I've lost out on like me time. But it doesn't mean that me time doesn't exist. Like we said, we talked about boundaries, or not boundaries, we talked about like our schedule. And so Jamie gave me mornings to where I can go and read and like ride my bike. Like today, rode my bike here because we're both coming and she was energized because she didn't have Elisha all day. And so I knew that I could ride here because she would have enough energy to handle him for that little bit and not need me. So it's just like, I don't know, kind of like that ebb and flow of marriage of give a little and don't expect to get anything back.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way.
Jamie just...
Hey, everybody, Jamie sucks today.
No. It's the goal is never to sacrifice because you're expecting her to sacrifice back. Like, mm-hmm. that's not why.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, I'm not saying you're... Don't give. You sacrifice a lot. People think I'm like this perfect person, and Jamie knows me more than anything and deals with me more than anybody. So
Kai's biggest sin is he doesn't give me enough back rubs.
Got that right.
Sinner. I'm just kidding.
Got that right.
You suck. Okay, the last part that I wanted to talk about is
it's from a whole Instagram post from, you read it, right?
Oh, I'm so ready.
Okay, yeah.
So J.D. Rogers is the creative director of The Porch, which is the young adult ministry of Watermark Church. And at The Porch, they talk a lot about like relationships and stuff like that because it's a young adult ministry and we care about that. So he's always experienced people complain or Christian girls complaining like Christian guys don't ask us out enough, whatever. And he posted this really long thing and I wanted to read it for the listeners in case they don't know what this is. And then I want to talk about it. So this is his post. I believe Christian guys are asking out Christian girls and are experiencing success. Here's where I believe the actual problem lies. I don't know about the rest of the world, but after studying some of the statistics in my realm, there seems to be a lot more Christian women. Oh my gosh, I cannot read. There seems to be a lot more women in Christian culture than men. Here's what I mean. There are usually 3 to 4 single young adult girls per every 1 single young adult guy in the church. Most co-ed Christian conferences are about 60% women and 40% men. I have run multiple Christian/church Instagram accounts, podcasts, and online equipping tools, and the analytics show that they are reaching about 73% women and 27% men. How much faster would an all-women's conference fill up versus an all-men's Christian conference? Women leaders in ministry are developing equipping resources for younger women to attend and flourish at a much faster rate because of the success and need they're seeing. I've hosted many live Q&A opportunities, and it's usually 5 girls asking questions to every 1 guy. I've recently sat in groups with young adults who call themselves next generation leaders, where the room is usually majority women. So I'm sorry, but I'm personally way less concerned with why are Christian guys not asking Christian girls out, and far more concerned with why are there not more godly guys running hard after Jesus in general. And sadly, this isn't new and shouldn't be surprising to you. The very first sin came from the passivity of man, but I believe that can change. Would you join me in praying for this? I believe these numbers and statistics can begin to even out.
The focus for me right now is not to get more men at the altar with women. The win is to get more men to come to the altar to meet and fall in love with Jesus. This is not a dating problem. This is a discipleship problem. If the discipleship problem is addressed, then I think the dating problem will see more success. And Kai's like, let me gather my thoughts. But yeah, I thought that was a really good thing that he addressed, because it definitely put it into different perspective. I know before I've said like, oh, Christian girls just think guys aren't asking us out because it's like the guy that we want doesn't ask us out. But generally, like, I agree with what he's saying. I mean, I haven't experienced everything that he has. I just thought it was really good, and I thought we should talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like he said, like, I think it just goes back to like Adam, whenever he just sat to the side and let Eve sin, and then he engaged in sin as well, all because he was just being passive. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't fulfill his role in saying like, whoa, Eve, hold on, like, remember what God said, like, God is good, we have to trust his word over what we quote unquote like believe. And I just really believe, like, ever since Adam's like sin, it's like been a curse that's been like put on just like men in general, that they're not wanting to be men. They just want to stay at boy level, and they're not willing to just, what Kai said, like, they're not just willing to sacrifice. It's that they'd rather, after a long day of work, just sit on their butt and play Xbox. And like, I'm not saying Xbox is a sin, so all you guys are like, no, that's not what I'm saying. Like, I freaking love Xbox. But it's just one of those things where it's just like, men are so prone to just like chill and just let whatever happen, that they're not willing to fight and like just allow themselves to be even more exhausted, if that means sacrificing and like pursuing Jesus harder. And I mean, I've talked about this with like some of like my other single friends who like love Jesus, and they're just like, why are there no guys? And like, literally today, one of my friends was like, do you know any single guys? And I literally went through my entire Instagram. I went through my entire like phone contacts, and I was like, I have one single guy and two others, and two are gay. So we got one. And it's just like one of those things where it's just like boys just aren't willing to like sacrifice and like really just put aside their exhaustion, put aside their, I just want to do whatever I want to, and just fight it and just sacrifice. And I think it also goes back to, because dad is also passive, dad didn't raise his boys to also not be passive, but to actually fight and sacrifice for their sisters, for their mom. And I think it just kind of like runs like rampant, like dads aren't being what they're supposed to be, so the sons aren't going to be what they're supposed to be. Even some pastors, super passive, just don't want to call out sin for what it is. Mm. So of course it's going to leak into their church members, and then you just have like everybody just like, it's whatever, don't really matter.
Here we go. So I would say, first off, yeah, it definitely stems a lot of time. I hate it. Like, I absolutely hate the fact that how many girls, even at Wake, where there are so many girls at Wake who love Jesus and are pursuing Jesus and want a godly relationship. The problem is there are no guys, and the guys that do show up are the guys who are boys, who don't really care about their relationship with God so much as they're actually putting Jesus first. And so I would say, first, it definitely comes from the fathers beforehand, and even society. It says the man is the one who, and this is the thing where I deal with, you know, parents who had issues with their youth students, is they think, hey, I'm loving my kids because I'm providing for them. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. Like, just because you provide, okay, that's good. Like, okay, you're doing one part of your job, but the other part of the job is to figure out, hey, what are your kids' love languages? Which kids want quality time? Which kids want words of affirmation? Like, are you actually encouraging your boy, or are you doing is just yelling at him, right? And so most of the time, the fathers before were just there, and it's definitely, you know, my generation's, the dads in that generation were very much, they did their job, they brought home the money, and they paid for everything. And if they did that, then man, that was a job well done. No, it's like, no, they missed out on an entire part of their job of actually discipling their guys into action and their boys into becoming men. And so now the biggest issue is we're dealing with boys. And so this is, I mean, this what he said in the thing was just spot on. But I will say this as well, is that the one of the bigger issues is not just fathers being lacking, but it's also the fact that, and I see this in how guys treat women, is because pornography has become so rampant in the world today and so easily accessible. Like before, right, it was just magazines. Now, you know, then it was like websites, but now it's just all over the place, right? It's easily accessible. And so when you look at porn, is that the guys, and it's not just guys do it, girls do it too, but the guys, they're getting satisfaction from this girl. They're getting what they want from this girl because you can search any type of porn, whatever. And so you get exactly what you want. And then there's no sort of sacrifice. There's no sort of ties being attached or anything. It's no, you're going to give me pleasure and that's it. And so what happens is that nowadays is subconsciously, now all these guys are just looking for a girl who will be able to satisfy some sort of weird, you know, not fetish, but pleasure in their mind, where they're like, no, like I need a girl look like this, has this, whatever. And they don't care of whether or not this girl actually loves Jesus. It's like if they say, if they go to church and then they look like this, then that's the girl that I'm down for.
Build a girl. When it,
but as well as, you know, in so we're going through the spiritual disciplines in groups, and the author of this book I'm reading, his name's Richard Foster. He's, we're talking about studying this upcoming week. And he says, what we study determines the kind of habits that are formed, which is why Paul urges us to focus on things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and gracious, right? Set your mind on things above. You know, these are things you should think about. So the issue, the first issue is that all these guys think about is girls, looking at girls. I mean, they have, what is that, the OnlyFans thing? Like, man, like it's so accessible, right?
Yeah.
So guys are just very accessible to get girls to do whatever they want, right? Essentially is what pornography is, getting a girl to do whatever you want. And then you see the disrespect towards women. You see the lack of seeing women as important, like all these things. And so on top of that is that because all they're doing is studying work, they're studying money, they're studying pleasure, then the habits that are being formed are habits to get them money, to get them the girl they want. So they work out a lot. So they do these things where all they're looking at are the things that they're studying, when the real issue is that they're not studying God's word. They're not being discipled. They're not, there's not enough disciple makers out there who are out there calling out guys and pushing guys to do what they need to do. And I'm not even the perfect disciple maker as it is. Like there's a lot of guys at Wake that I want to be discipling more and more, but the problem is there's so many. And so it's like you start with some, but it, you know, then you get them to disciple the guys. And so, you know, it comes that multiplication instead of addition. But the true issue, I think, is just that why there aren't that many guys is one, is like girls are, I think, just have a quicker, oh man, life is real. And unfortunately, a lot of girls have had their heart broken so many times that when they finally, you know, snap out of it, they're like, no more, right? They don't want to go through that brokenness anymore. Where most of the time the guys don't, it's very rare that the guys really get broken. I mean, they get broken, but they've gone through a few girls before they actually get broken. And so unfortunately there are a lot of, I mean, even today, like even the Wake Church podcast, more women listen to the Wake Church, listen to the Wake men's podcast than men guys did.
Me.
It was like, I think the percentage was like 70-30, where it was like 70% were women listening to the Wake men's. And that's why we changed it to the Wake Church podcast. Cause we were like, okay, obviously more women are listening. But it's an issue. And yeah, women's conferences fill up way faster. Men's conferences don't exist. Why? Because men are passive. Men don't care. Men aren't being aware. They're not willing. They don't see their sin and they don't see their need of Jesus as more than just a Sunday morning thing, because all they really think about is, I got to go to church. I got to find a girl who goes to church. I got to make money and she better do what I asked her to do. Right? Like that's pretty much most of men in America today who say they would love Jesus. But the true guy is the guy that says, man, I cannot wait to find a woman who I get to show the love of Christ to. And I'm going to pursue her. I don't care if my friends give up on me because I'm not hanging out with them. It's like, man, I want to love my wife. And then when I have kids, man, I cannot wait to go home and say no to these things so I can go spend time with my kids. Like, yeah, you can have a hobby, but it's like, man, I want to make sure that I spend as much time with Elisha as I have him. And it's like, when he leaves, I can go out one day and, you know, there's all these old guys who cycle 100, you know, miles a day. It's like, okay, I'll do that then. But now my time needs to be with my son, you know, discipling him, spending time with him so that he knows that I'm dad and this is mom. And not so much just, hey, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to get away. I have to, whatever. It's like, no, you don't have to do anything. The problem is that they have these deep rooted idols in their heart that they have to feed. And if they don't feed it, then they're not happy. And so I think down to it, it's passivity, but it's also idols that they're more willing to feed and not get rid of, because it would hurt so much if they got rid of these idols in their heart. It is a discipleship problem. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I would, whoever wants to be discipled, if it's more girls than it is guys, then I would gladly help disciple girls and mm-hmm. you know, help Jamie to disciple more girls. Because it's like, my job as a disciple, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to try to disciple as many men as possible, but sometimes girls are way easier because they're actually hungry for God. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, at the end of the day, it's like,
we can't make somebody hungry.
Yeah, you can't make somebody hungry. No.
Yeah. That was very good. Thank you for being on the show.
Yes. Sorry we went so long.
No, hopefully I really enjoy it. And I know everyone's going to really enjoy listening to this. And yeah, thanks for teaching. I don't know. Thanks for doing a couple sermons on the podcast. A couple quick sermons. No, it's definitely really like worth talking about, because I feel like a lot of these things are not brought up in regular conversation. I mean, with us, yeah, but like typical, like everyone who listens to it. And I'm pretty sure I told you this, but like 60% of my listeners are guys and 40% are girls.
Y'all need to get y'all's crap together.
Yeah. So if you feel called out, we're not sorry, because maybe you need it. But yeah, thank you guys for being on the podcast. It was fun. Yeah.
We enjoyed it.
Thanks to everybody for listening to Elisha cry. Yes.
That so was sorry. Funny. I'm wondering if he's asleep right now.
Probably. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem.
And I hope, well, I was going to say hope to see y'all soon. What? I'll see y'all soon. But hope y'all are on the podcast again soon. If you guys have any questions, DM them to me on the Kind of Relatable Instagram. And yeah, thanks for listening. And I'll talk to you guys in the next one. Bye.
Hey, bye.
Bye.